Actually, I think you're absolutely right about that. Look, the Expropriation Act has been in the works for quite a long time now, at least a decade, if not more. And the requirement that we have a new Expropriation Act to replace the old 1975 Expropriation Act was a necessity because of the new constitution agreed in 1996, and in particular the property clause, which outlines the question of whether property can be acquired by the state and at what price. So actually there's very little difference between the versions of it. Many lawyers have had a look at the bill and have declared that it is consistent with the constitution and that there is no basis for arguing that the state can just willy-nilly take land away from people or confiscate it for them without due process of law. It is in line with one of the world's best constitutions. And, you know, if you want to, I can go into the relevant clauses. But I think this is a storm in a coffee cup, as you put it. I think it's being used for political reasons, as the land issue often is on all sides of the coin.
Indeed, and of course, it's an interesting point to make that 1975 was during apartheid. It was just before the 1976 Soweto uprisings, which shows us how old it actually is. It seems as if the objections surround a clause 12.3 or something. I'm speak open to correction. So what exactly is it that these other parties are complaining about in terms of the expropriation bill, which you correctly point out that the government can't come and say, I want your land, because there is a process? But what's the problems with this clause?
Okay, look, it's section 25, 2 and 3.
Oh.
2, 3 and 4 are the main problems. The property clause now it says no one may be deprived of property except in terms of a law of general application. And no law may permit arbitrary deprivation of property. So it's a very strong statement, no arbitrary deprivation. Secondly, it says property may be expropriated for a public purpose or in the public interest.
That's key.
Which is a big difference from the 1975 Expropriation Act. Of course, most governments around the world, in fact, I would probably say all of them, can act in terms of what's known as the doctrine of eminent domain. The state can take people's property for public purposes such as schools, clinics, roads, dams, and so on. In most cases, but not in all, the amount of compensation paid is market value. In many countries, it's not market value, and it is not in our country either. The second part is that the deprivation subject to compensation must be decided or approved by a court, or agreed between the parties. Either you negotiate an agreed amount for being compensation, or a court must decide. And the recent Act, does make provision for court oversight. In other words, the court will say, is this in line with the law and is it in line with the Constitution? So I think the most complicated, the most controversial part of the current debate is around the question of how much compensation you pay. I think most people accept the idea of public purpose, public interest, and that public interest includes land reform. And what they say is reforms to bring about equitable access to all of South Africa's natural resources. So I think the compensation is the hard part. Now, what the Constitution and the Act say about this, that the amount of compensation and the time and manner of payment must be just and equitable. And what they mean, what that also means is it must reflect an equitable balance between the public interest and the interests of those affected. Okay? So the question is, what is just and equitable? The argument in South Africa is that because of our long history, decades of land dispossession, that you cannot just pay market value. You have to be able to take into account the history of the acquisition and use of a particular property, as well as the current use of that property in deciding how much compensation to pay. You can also take into account the extent of direct state investment in the past, subsidies in the past to the owners of the land, including subsidies which increased its capital value. And of course, you also have to take into account the purpose of the expropriation. If, for example, there's an abandoned piece of land on the outskirts of Cape Town where people have effectively squatted it and been living there for 10 years, the owner has effectively abandoned it. The purpose of the expropriation will be to create low-cost housing. You can take this into account in deciding the amount of compensation. Market value is just one of those five. Market value can be taken into account, and of course in many cases it would be taken strongly into account. But the point is this, that the amount paid as compensation need not be at market value. Taking into account all the factors, you can pay less than that. And it is suggested in the Act that in some cases, no compensation could be paid. For example, if a property has been effectively abandoned, no compensation would be paid. There's no benefit expected from the owner at any point in time, so why not acquire it for nothing? Now, unfortunately, some bodies of opinion say this is opening the door to mass confiscation of land without compensation being paid. I don't think that's what the Act intends, and it is certainly not going to open the door to that kind of mass expropriation. Rather, the process must be overseen by a court if the parties do not agree, and all these factors outlined in the Constitution and in the Act will be brought to bear in thinking about the manner and the amount of compensation. So I think it actually has been blown out of all proportion. And what the commentators are not taking into account is the need to use expropriation to acquire land, to transfer it to people, in other words, to give effect to land reform, which is necessary as evident in this long and very detailed clause in the Constitution.
No, absolutely, 100% on all of that. There's just one question, and it's more legally philosophical than dealing with the nuts and bolts of the Act as you have done so professionally. What worries me, this thing gets taken to court, and the High Court or the Constitutional Court throws out the appeal, and I've got a gut feeling they'll do that because as a member of public, I don't have a problem with the bill at all. But that those hostile to us will now reinterpret the court ruling as saying that even our courts, even our constitution, is against whatever these other people want to put out in terms of poison. How do we get around that one? Because it looks like we're on to a beating whichever way we move on this one.
I think the politicians in both other countries and in our own country need to upfront, number one, acknowledge 300 years of land disposition, taking land away from people and giving them to other people. We have to redress an absolute priority. It will help us to address poverty and inequality. And unless that is acknowledged, you don't get off base fund. You have to acknowledge that as a starting point, and then you can start talking about the best ways to do that, the most effective ways, which will have the most beneficial effect on people and on society. But I think the second thing I would say is that what we have to do is encourage rational debate based on the facts of the matter, not on exaggerations or things which are not simply not true, or on emotion, or playing to various political constituencies. Let's keep the debate about land and expropriation and land reform in a calm, reasoned manner which will help us move forward on this complex issue.
Absolutely. Professor Ben Cousins, thanks for explaining this to us. And of course, the expropriation bill, it's not as bad as people think or claiming it is. The previous one was promulgated in 1975, so it is time for change, responsible change at that, in which all citizens benefit constitutionally. Professor Ben Cousins, it's been a pleasure chatting.
Thank you very much.